Okay, let's do a quick review. We're not going to do it inside. Last week we did the Gemara inside. But let's do a quick review. Now we've got our handy-dandy board out. We can sort of diagram a little bit. We're not going to draw, but we're going to diagram in terms of the plot points of the sugya. So we had three Gemaras. We had Kuf Mem Aleph. We had Kuf Chaf Gimel, I think it was. And then we just had this Gemara, which was on Mem Gimel. Okay? So, what we're going to do here is I'm just going to set up the Gemaras, and we're going to look at Rishonim that are going to try to answer the question about what's the difference between the cases. Okay? So, we're going to set it up like this. We've got... Okay, we have, on the one hand, the radish case, that's Kuf Mem Aleph. We have the fig and the bread case, that's Kuf Chaf Beis or Kuf Chaf Gimel.
I think Tosfos actually quoted the Gemara. Tosfos, Kuf Chaf Gimel.
And what was the conclusion of that Gemara in terms of Tiltzel Min Hatzad?
Not Tiltzel.
Right, Lo Shmei Tiltzel. Tiltzel min ha-tzad lo shmei tiltzel. Okay? So there you have it. That's one version, right? This is radish, fig. We also had the bed. Right? Let's keep those in mind too. Radish, fig, bed, and bread. Okay.
It's getting a little crowded over there.
But okay, we can do it. Okay. So now we've got radish, fig, bed, and bread case.
Right? The bed was the hay on the bed, the straw on the bed, right?
So those, in context of those, we'd said, tiltzel min hatzad, lo shmei tiltzel.
That was the conclusive ending of those Gemaras. It was not even a debate.
And then we had last week, last couple weeks, we've had the case of Mem Gimel. Mem Gimel, that was Tiltzel Min Hatzad Shmei Tiltzel. And this was the dead body. Okay. Now, last week we did our first analysis of this, right? We've got these two cases. One says tiltzel min hatzad, no problem, you can do it, no problem. That's the case of the radish, the fig, the bed, and the bread. And then we had the Gemara in Mem Gimel, Tiltzel Min Hatzad Shmei Tiltzel. What are we going to do with these two Gemaras? So who was the first one we looked at last week? Tosfos, good. Tosfos, we're going to say on Mem Gimel. Okay. Tosfos, what did Tosfos say? Does anyone remember? Let's look back at it inside. This one we only did inside once. If you look at the bottom of the front of the page, so bottom left corner, about six lines up, the end of the line says, V'omer Ri. V'omer Ri, the Ri says, on behalf of Tosfos, the Ri says, D'yesh L'chalik, first word on the line is D'yesh. Five lines up from the bottom left corner. D'yesh L'chalik, D'hacha Ikar HaTiltul L'tzorech Mes. The main purpose, the main intention of the Gemara here, remember here is Mem Gimel Amud Beis. It's really Mem Gimel Amud Beis. I think I wrote Mem Aleph. It's Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, which is where he's saying it. But the actual Gemara is on Mem Gimel Amud Beis. So he says, Tiyeshlai Tahacha Ikar HaTiltul L'tzorech Mes. Velo Dami, what is Velo Dami? It's not similar to domet. Lo domet lechol hanahu to all of the others. She'ose ikar hatiltul litzorech kar v'chavis v'lo litzorech ma'os v'evin.
He actually brought in the other Gemaras of the Basas the Dav or Asr question, which is the same question. If you're going to say that it's Asr, so then why are you moving it? Even Minatzah. So what is he saying here? And we're going to use this in, we're going to use the common colloquial concept, as opposed to, the Tosos uses this very specific for references. Letzor HaMeis, Letzor HaKar. Here we're going to say, anyone want to give us a good halachic phrase for this? For the mace, it's Letzorech Davar Ha'aser versus, now you can know the other one, Letzorech Davar Hamutar. Okay? So Letzorech Davar Aser, Letzorech Davar Mutar. When it comes to doing something min hatzad, tiltum min hatzad, indirect movement. When it comes to indirect movement, which is for the sake of the usur item, so then you can't do it. That's the case of the dead body. You are moving the dead body for the dead body's sake. The dead body is the whole problem here. Right? The dead body is the thing that's mutzah. The bed is the thing that's mutter. Okay? That's different from letzorech davar hamutar. When it comes to the radish, fig, bed, or bread, in all of those cases, you are either moving you're indirectly moving the dirt for the sake of the radish, which you can eat. You're moving the straw for the sake of the fig that you can eat. You're moving the coals for the sake of the bread that you can eat. You're moving the straw for the sake of the bed that you can sleep on. You're doing it always for the purpose of the davar hamutar. And when you're doing it for the davar hamutar, so then we're going to be lenient to allow tiltum min hatzad. Yeah, Viva.
Two things. First of all, re stands for what?
Oh, I don't know. Rabbi Yenu Yitzchak, maybe. Let's look it up. That's the third week in a row that we've asked, so I might as well look it up. Let me see. There's a list of Tosfosim here. Tosfotim is not a word that makes any sense, but that's what people say. Tosfosim. Let me see. I'm not seeing the re. Oh, he is Yitzchak ben Shmuel. He is Rabbeinu Tam's son. Good to know. The Re that we've been quoting is Rav Yitzchak ben Shmuel. You can't use the acronym. I guess you could, because he probably comes first. But there is a different Rishon whose name is the Rivash. The Rivash, I believe, was a student of the Ran in Spain, but much later. So I don't know. He hopped the Re. Would you rather the Re or would you rather Rivash? The Re. I mean, there are many people that could be Re. Any Yitzchak Yaakov or Yochanan, they could all be Re. He's the only one. So I guess there's a prominence to that. He got it first. So also sometimes called Tosos Re Hazaken. The Re is the... Yeah, the Re is the son of... Interesting. He's got a bunch of his own sons that were also, I think. The Ritzbah was his son. Yehuda ben Yitzchak, I don't know who that is. The Rash. The Rash is also his son. Baruch. Okay, he's got a bunch of rabbinic sons also. So he is technically, if he's the son of the Rabbeinu Tam, what's his relationship to Rashi?
Grandson.
Great grandson, very good. Rabbeinu Tam is Rashi's grandson, because Rashi didn't have any sons. He only had daughters. So if anyone ever tells you that they're a descendant of Rashi, which many, many people are, You should just know there's no such thing as a ben achar ben descendant of Rashi, because he had no sons. Even if you were a ben achar ben from Rabbi Nutam, you can't be a ben achar ben from Rashi, because he didn't have any. Anyways, so the Re, that was question number one for Aviva. The Re is Reb Yitzchak ben Shmuel, the would-be Rivash, but known more colloquially as the Re, or the Re, Tosos Re Hazakin. That was good. That's all you had? You had something else?
No.
You're just getting started. Go ahead.
I guess I can categorize it as just being totally for the benefit of the mate.
Okay. You're saying because the person themselves is bothered by the mason?
Yeah,
I get that. But when we're talking about the tzorech, so we have to zoom in. A lot of times we zoom out to understand things. Now we're zooming in. Right? We are looking at this activity in a vacuum. So you might be very right. You might be right that in the grand scheme of things, there are considerations for the alive people. But in terms of this act, we are trying to figure out when you move this thing indirectly, why are you moving? Why are you doing that activity? That tilt tool. What is the purpose of that tilt tool? So that tilt tool directly, immediately, is for the sake of the dead body. Now, there might be grander ideas. Maybe you're trying to get a good workout in and you want to move dead bodies. Maybe you're getting paid for this job. I mean, there are other considerations, but what is the actual act of the tilt tool? It's for the sake of the dead body.
But didn't we learn last week in the Gemara? I think that, who was it that said, or we heard the Ben Lakish, that...
He had heard that you could do it.
Yeah, because the relative would be so disturbed.
Right.
That he might extinguish the flame.
Right. But so first of all, that's a case of the fire. We're not talking about the fire case.
Right.
Second of all, the Gemara comes on to that only because Tiltzum and Atzadis Aser. And that's the part of the Gemara that we're focusing on. It doesn't need to say that. If Tiltzum and Atzadis Mutter, just do that already. So the purpose of the Gemara bringing up the Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish is to prove to us that Tiltzum and Atzadis Aser, and therefore you need a different reason to allow it when there's a fire. Right? And that's what it was talking about. So might there also be a consideration otherwise, even without a fire? Maybe the question is whether or not that justifies moving the body. And assuming, like this Gemara, the Tzarat Avar Aser is Aser, so then you wouldn't be allowed to. Yeah. Okay. But also keep in mind that we're talking about these really extreme cases, and we're talking about them so that we can understand the concept of Tiltum and Asad better. Because once we have this rule, we can understand a lot more about what we can do, right? Mm-hmm. When I come to my Shabbos table and there are coins on the table, so am I allowed to move them? Indirectly. You can't pick them up regularly because they're mukta. But can I use my elbow to push it off? Can I shake off the tablecloth and move them? That's tiltum and atzad. But why am I doing it? Am I doing it because I want to put the money in a piggy bank? So that would be aser. That's the tzarat avar aser. But if I'm doing it because I need a clean table so I can have my Shabbos meal, so that's tzarat avar mutter. Right? So that's why that the distinction is important. Even if we're not going to, Mirat Hashem, ever talk about a dead body, have to deal with a dead body, we have to understand this distinction so we can apply it to our situations. That's according to Tosfos. Today, Mirat Hashem, we're going to go into three other approaches. We're going to have, number one, the riff. You don't know what the riff was? Rav Yitzchak Alfasi. Why is he called Alfasi?
Morocco.
Fez Morocco. Alfasi. Ooh. Fez Morocco. Anyone know his timing, his time period? Early. Early o'clock. Yeah, okay. I don't actually remember the opinions of these two, but I'm going to write them down just in case. Okay, we'll get there when we get there.
What's the in parenthesis by the riff?
Oh, the riff. The riff that we're going to be quoting from is on Daf Chaf Amud Beis. Chaf Amud Beis. The riff has different pagination. Are you familiar with that word? Pagination? Mm-hmm. Just means what page it's on. The riff, Well, it's a fancy word for saying that the pages are different.
Okay.
They don't correlate. Right? As opposed to Tosfos as a commentary on the Gemara, he's on the Gemara. Right? Mem, Gimel, Amud, Beis. That's where you can find this Tosfos. The Rif has a different pagination. When he quotes the Gemaras, he has different pages for it. The same Gemara is found on page Chaf in the Dapei HaRif. So that's why it's on a Chaf. The Rush, it doesn't go based on pages of the Gemara. He has his own system. It's in Perek Gimel, OCU test or something. And then the Ritva is also on the Gemara. So anyway, so let's look at this one by one. We'll start with Rav Yitzhak Alfasi, the Rif. Might be important to know. I actually don't recall how the Shulchan Aruch paskins, but Tosfos is from where, generally? France, Provence, right? Ashkenaziville, if you will, right? He's definitely Ashkenazi. The Rif, I should really back up when I write these things so I don't scrunch in random places. The Rif is from?
You said Morocco?
Fez, Morocco. That would be? Svardiville. Okay, so that's going to be an important distinction. The Rush? Trick question. He started as Ashkenazi, and then he moved to Spain. So that's a bit of a combo. The Ritva? Svardi, from Spain. Anyone know his name? The Ritva? He's got one of the longest acronyms for a Rishon. If you think about, you know, the Rambam, the Ramban, the Rush, the Rashba, the Rashbam, they're all four letters. Right? You have Rabbi, one name, Beis, another name. Rambam, Ramban, Rashba. What, the Ritva? What name would that possibly be? Anyone? No guesses? Oh, what about the Yud?
Oh, the Yud.
What name is Yud Tes? Yom Tov. Yom Tov. His name was Yom Tov. You have Yom Tov. Anyone know his father's name? It's a trick question also. He had a Hebrew name, which was Avraham. And I believe his Arabic name was Ashvili. Rav Yom Tov ben Ashvili. I don't know if they called him Yantif. You think they called him Yantif? Anyways. Okay. So let's see. The Rif. Let's start with the Rif. Rav Yitzhak Alfasi, I believe, very early Rishon. As Raina correctly pointed out, early relative to the other Rishonim. I believe he's in the 11th century already. So this basically predates Rashi, it predates the Rambam, it predates everyone else we're going to see, including Tosfos that we already saw. Says the Rif. Now, what was the Rif's function? Let's just remind ourselves of the history for a second. What was the Rif trying to do when he wrote his commentary? It's not really a commentary. Tosfos is a commentary, right? He's taking the Gemaras, he's comparing them, he's analyzing them, and he comes up with his explanation of them. The Rif is trying to codify. The Rif and the Rush really are doing that. When they write their commentary, their whole purpose is, this is how we should paskin. That's what their purpose is. Tosfos is not even on that planet. Tosfos is trying to make Gemaras work together. Now, a lot of times, it segues into halacha. Even Tosfos will say, this is what we do, or something like that, once in a while. But generally, they, being Rashi and Tosfos, are concerned with how to explain the Gemara. Whereas the Rif also tries to explain Gemaras, but for the sake of telling us what's the halacha. That's just an important point, just to see how it comes down in the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Rif, if you look at the top of the back of the page. V'kashalan, the Rif says, in his commentary, which is really a codification, V'kashalan had de garsina n'peret kol kelim. It is difficult for us, that which we have, garsina is really the text that we have, in Perek Kol HaKelim, that's Kuf Chav Gimel. That's referring to?
The fig and the bread.
Good. Le'inyan Paga Shetmana Batavin. This he's just summarizing here. Paga Shetmana Batavin V'charara Shetmana B'gachalim. Im Megula Miktasa. If some of it's revealed, exposed. So much of the Tatel. Then you'd be allowed to move it. Elazar Ben Tadai Omer. Tochvin la bekush o bekarkar vihin in eres me'elaha. You can stab it with something, and then everything else will fall off to the side. And then what did we say at the end of that Gemara? Amrav Nachman halacha kelazer ben Tadai. We pass on the kelazer ben Tadai. Why? Desavar tiltol min hatzad lo shmei tiltol. That's what you find in this first column. Tiltum and atzad lo shmei tiltol. So that's a question, because the Rif is commenting on, you have to know the context of the Rif. The Rif is commenting on the second column, right? That's daf chaf. You wouldn't know it unless you saw the whole thing, but daf chaf amid beis, he's commenting on the meis gemara. He's commenting on the dead body gemara. And that's why he says, but we have a kasha on this gemara because of what we're going to say later on in kuf chaf gimel. And you should know, the Rif is notorious for when it comes to these kinds of contradictions, he'll only talk about it in one of the two places, because he only needs to, right? Because his whole purpose is, again, for the sake of what's the halacha. Okay, so he'll talk about it once, and then I can imagine a kuf chaf gimel, he doesn't even mention the gemara. He might just skip over the gemaras. I don't know. Sometimes he does that, sometimes he'll mention it or review it. So he says, uparkinan. Anyone know the word parkinan? Okay, interesting. Parak means a chapter. I don't think it's connected. Interesting, though. Anyone know the mitzvah of prika? Unloading a person's animal or person. Prika means to unload. So parkinan is like, we've got this burden. We've got this question. It's heavy. We have to figure out, what are we going to do with it? And so this is how we are unloading the burden of that question. Okay, uparkinan. That's just a connection. The word just means to answer. But uparkinan, ki amrinan tiltul min hatzad shmei tiltul. When do we say that it's real tiltul and it's usser? Meaning, like the dead body case. When do we say that it's usser? Hani mili kigon avanim uchyotze behu. That's when we're dealing with stones. De'enan letzorech Shabbos. That they are not for the sake of Shabbos. De asur l'taltel mimakom l'makom. You would not be allowed to move them from one place to another. Dumya demes, like a dead body. Kida amrinan hasam, like it says over there, ben shmona chai, harehu ke'evan. That a child who is 8 days old but alive, he's like a stone. Va asur l'taltelo, de chames dami. A baby who's not able to walk on his own is like a stone, and you're carrying him like a stone. Aval paga shetmana beteven, upugla v'charara shetmana beremetz, uchiyote behen, de ochlin hein, vitzarech leochlan b'shabes, tiltul min hatzad, bakol ki haimilsa lo shmei tiltul. In all cases like that, where you're dealing with an object that you need or that you will use on Shabbos, so that the tiltum and atzad is mutter. Now, what is the Rif saying?
Exactly.
Is it exactly like Tosfos says? It's an interesting question. I believe some Achronim will say that that is the same as Tosfos. However, if you look at the Rosh, if you look at the Rif closer, does he say Litzorech Aser or Litzorech Mutter? What is his actual opinion? De'enan Litzorech Shabbos. Is there a difference between Tzorech Shabbos and Tzorech Mutter? Tzorech Davar Mutter?
Not the same thing.
Is it? I'm asking. You think it is? Well, let me ask you a question. Is there any case that the Rif might just conveniently be leaving out? Yeah, we're not going to get there. We're not talking about that. That's a completely different gemara. What case did he mention? He mentioned the case of... He mentioned the cases of the fig and the radish and the bread. What did he not mention? He talked about the dead body. The straw on the bed. The straw on the bed. Is the straw on the bed any different than the other three?
Yeah.
It's not a food. And you're not using it. It's not, you're not. Oh, so there's a difference here. There's a difference here. It could be, there could be a difference. I think the Achronim debate this. I haven't looked into it too deeply. But I think there's a difference here. When we say Litzorech Shabbos, what do we mean when we say Litzorech Shabbos? We mean, maybe, the Rif means, something which is the fulfillment of a Shabbos halacha. When you eat a radish, a fig, or bread, you are fulfilling the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos. Letzorech Shabbos, for the sake of Shabbos. What is your bed fulfilling? Menucha. Maybe menucha. Where's the mitzvah of menucha on Shabbos? Show it. Show me the pasuk.
Okay.
Show me the pasuk. Are you allowed to stay up all of Shabbos? Yeah. No problem staying up all of Shabbos. I've had Rebbeim that have said that. I've heard from a Rebbe of mine. He said some Hasidish Rebbe would stay specifically. They would stay up all of Shabbos. Because what does it mean to be shomer something? If you're a guard, if you're watching something, you're going to fall asleep? No, we shomer Shabbos means you stay up the whole day. So either way, the point is there's not necessarily a mitzvah to sleep on Shabbos, as much as we like to think that there is. But there is a mitzvah to eat foods for the Suda. I'm not going to. But my point is it letzorech Shabbos? Is it a fulfillment of Shabbos when you go to sleep? Maybe. Or it could just be for your own self-enjoyment to go to sleep. That doesn't mean that it's not a tzorech. And it doesn't mean it's not a tzorech hamutter. It just means it's not a tzorech Shabbos. The foods are a tzorech Shabbos. The foods are something you eat at your Shabbos meal. The bed, you can say Shabbos nap from today to tomorrow, but there's no such thing in a halachic. In a halachic world, the Shabbos nap is something you're allowed to do. It's not something that you have to do. Shabbos meal, you have to have a Shabbos meal. Resting from malacha. Yeah. I mean, we use the word rest interchangeably in English. But shavas mi malacha means not, it's a refrainment from activity, not sleeping necessarily. Sorry, there's something on here. But that's where there might be a distinction here. So let's just write this in. Yeah. Go ahead.
Just to clarify, the part about the straw on the bed.
Straw on the bed, yeah. Could be.
So what was the
case of the Mishnah was that the straw was on in your way, like you wanted to sleep and you had all the straw on the bed. That could be underneath there was straw too, but imagine that there's like a nice bed sheet over all of that straw, and now you got more straw on top of it, something like that. You had to move it out of the way. So according to the Rif, ignoring the bread that's in this column for a second, what does he say? The reason why this is okay is Litzorech Shabbos. And the reason here that it's not is Eino. Litzorech Shabbos. Okay? So, I'm going to give you another example. Let's say... Trying to think of an nafkamina on this side. We already talked about a nafkamina on this side. If something not Litzorech Shabbos. Trying to figure out. Meaning for Tosfos, if we talk about the bed case, for Tosfos the bed case is easy. You're allowed to use a bed on Shabbos. So that's Litzorech Shabbos. For the Rif, it's not as easy. Because is a bed Litzorech Shabbos? Well, of course you're going to use it. I'm saying is it fulfilling something of Shabbos? So that one, what about this side? I'm trying to think of something which is Usser. Which you can use on Shabbos. I don't think it would be relevant. How about the how about the case of? Yeah, it's a similar case. The case of the pillow and the coins. According to Tosfos, not a problem. You're allowed to use the pillow. According to the Rif, do you need to use that pillow for Shabbos purposes? Probably not. You can sleep anyway. The case of the wine in the barrel, that's probably Tzor Shabbos. You could have said that one also, using wine for Kiddush or something like that. Yeah. Okay, so that's the Rif. That's the Rif's explanation of these two Gemaras. According to Tosfos, it's all about Tiltelman Tzad. It's only okay when it's the Tzorech Dover HaMutter, whatever that Mutter thing is. And according to the Rif, it's a Tzorech Shabbos. Now, we haven't yet explained why they make these distinctions. We're just getting what are the distinctions, okay? Meaning, I mentioned this at the end of class last week, which is, according to Tosfos, like, why would it make a difference what you're doing it for? right? We haven't talked about that yet. Why would it make a difference for the Rif that it's for Shabbos? Tiltum and Atzad, you're just indirectly moving something mutzi either way. Why would it make a difference? Okay, we're not getting there yet. We're just trying to get down the chilukim, the different opinions first. Yeah, Viva.
Theoretically,
yeah.
With Rif, you could say, well, if those foods aren't accessible, use other food.
Correct, you could. Let's say there are no more food. Let's say there's more. You needed this one, yeah. Yeah, the question is how you can do it. One could say that if Tiltum and Atzad was categorically prohibited, yeah. Tough luck, you've got no food. Mm-hmm. Go to a neighbor. Right? Meaning it's not necessarily a measurement of how hungry you are, but it's a measurement of, you know, how hard you have to work to go find other food. Right? If Tiltum and Atzad is Litzorach Shabbos is Mutter, so then I've got food right here, and I'm allowed to do it because I'm going to use it for the fulfillment of a Shabbos mitzvah, of eating my meal. But if it's Tiltum and Atzad is Asur categorically, so then I don't have it right here. And even if it's for Shabbos, it doesn't make a difference. And maybe I have to go down the street. You ask the neighbor for, you know, for an invite. So let's see the rush. Aval Rev Alfas. Who's Rev Alfas? The Rif. Aval Rev Alfas Zal Kasav. Amar Rev Yehuda Berebi Shila. Amar Rev Yochanan Halach Rev Yehuda Ben Lakish B'meis. So he's really quoting a part of the Rif that we haven't seen, but this is the dead body Gemara. That really indirect movement is prohibited, and the only reason they allowed it in the fire case is because we want to avoid you violating an Isser Daraisa. Second line in the middle of the rush, the second source. Aval be'alma, in general. Mashma delo shari Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish tiltum in atzad tishmei tiltul. It implies that Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish would say generally that it is aser. There's a period on the third line. That's what we're up to. V'chein kasav harav Rabbeinu Yona zal. Who's Rabbeinu Yona? Is it? It's kind of interesting that he's quoting him. I believe Rabbeinu Yona would be Rabbeinu Yona miGurundi. Let me see this for a second. They must have been contemporaries. Rabbeinu Yona was the Ramban's cousin. I think he married the Ramban's sister or something. Rabbeinu Yona. What do you say? He wrote Shari Tshuva, yeah. Commentary on Mishle and Avos. He was born in 1200 and died in 1263. Let me see. Rabbeinu Asher. Ben Yechiel, the Rush, must have been a contemporary. 1250 to 1327. He is much later than I thought. Okay. I mean, they overlap, but Rabbeinu Yona, he definitely could be referring to Rabbeinu Yona of Grundy. Good. So says the Rush, V'chein kasav harav Rabbeinu Yona zal, v'diktek midika amar halacha k'reb Yehuda b'meis, demashma dafka b'meis hitiru. This is a linguistic, you know, inference that he's making. When the Gemara says, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to a dead body, what that means is, in other cases, we wouldn't. In other cases, we would paskin not like Rabbi Yehuda that allows it. Dafka b'meis hitiru tiltum min atzad. Aval ba'alma lo. In all other, ba'alma means generally, the rest of the world, in all other worlds. So then, no, you would not paskin like Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. The e salkat, and I was going to say it out loud. Anyone know the words? Salkataitech. Because if you wanted to say, the Rebbe Yehuda mat hitir tiltul gamor mipnei hadalika lo havale lememar ella halach Rebbe Yehuda ben Lakish v'su lo. It should. If you wanted to say we pasul Rebbe Yehuda ben Lakish all the time, b'tiltul, so then we would have said that. But it says dafka b'meis. Okay, fine. That's just in terms of how he's inferencing. Says the Rush v'linira. The second line of the third to last line. The second word of the third to last line. V'linira, and to me it seems, dekevan detama de Rebbe Yehuda mitoch she'adam bahul almeso ilo sharis lei asil kabuye. If the reason, or because the reason of Rebbe Yehuda ben Lakish is only because we're trying to prevent him from putting out the fire, This should really be a comma. May hai taima nami sharinan tiltul gamor im aim lo ela mita achas. That's why we would also allow tiltul gamor, not min hatzad. Right? The min hatzad is you're moving in from one bed to another, you're rolling the body one to the other. It says the Rush, we would allow you to do tiltul, actual tiltul, because that's also only midrabanan. The gam tiltul gamor isser drabanan hu. Vidalchinan le shema yasa isser daraisa. And we're going to push that off to the side because we're worried you're going to do an isser daraisa. Uchshein bahu gagon shemesa muta lefanav bechama hasam sheri shmuel dafka tiltul min hatzad. And when there's no bahala, says the Rush, kagon shemesa muta lefanav bechama hasam sheri shmuel dafka tiltul min hatzad. That's when Shmuel would allow you to do tiltul min hatzad. I believe some explain the Rush here not to mean that we pass like Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish when it comes to tiltul min hatzad. The Rush is saying much very different than these cases. What's the Rush saying here? The Rush is saying, when the Rush reads our Gemara, when it comes to a dead body, very good. When it comes to the dead body, what Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish is telling us, just move the body. Don't even think about it. This is not even a tiltul min hatzad case. The dead body is not a tiltul min hatzad case. When we say in the Gemara that we pass like Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, what we mean is move the body regularly. Regularly, with no indirect movements. We're not going from one bed to another bed. Says the Rush, the conclusion of the Gemara on Daf Mem Gimel or Mem Dalet Amid Aleph is that you're allowed to move the body regularly. Because we're worried you're going to come to do a Doraisa. Moving it regularly is Durabanan. Moving it...
Is it just during the fire?
But the point, the reason why that's so important to make that distinction is, what's the implication of the Gemara? It's even okay to move it regularly. What about in a case where it's not a fire? You're not allowed to move it regularly, but you could move it tiltul min hatzad. So how does the Rush make sense of these Gemaras? Fascinating. He says, this is tiltul gamor. Not tiltul min hatzad shmei tiltul. He completely changed the whole Gemara. Or how we've been understanding it. He thinks that this Gemara, the reason why the dead body can't be moved is because it's the actual tiltul gamor. But if it wasn't tiltul gamor, and it was just tiltul min hatzad, he thinks you could always move it. Dead body, or a fig, or a radish, tiltul min hatzad. And that's why it actually makes a lot of sense given what we were originally asking in Tosfos. It makes a lot of sense that the Gemara doesn't even mention tiltul min hatzad. Doesn't even mention it. It doesn't even mention this tiltul min hatzad. It would be so glaringly obvious that the Gemara on Mem Dalet Amud Aleph should have said, wait a second, what about the bed with the straw? What about the fig with the dirt? What about the radish with the dirt? Well, why is it that the Gemara doesn't even mention this case? You're using the same words, tiltul min hatzad, says the Rush, because in the end of the day, it's not talking about tiltul min hatzad at all. Right? For Tosfos says, they're talking about tiltul min hatzad, but it's tiltul min hatzad dover aser. That's why it doesn't mention it. So you can see that that makes sense, but you would have expected the Gemara maybe would have should have mentioned that. Should have said, oh, by the way, the fig case, that's dover mutter. That's why that's different. The Gemara doesn't even entertain the connection between the two. Tosfos, you know, has to make it work, so that's what he does. But according to the Rush, it actually makes a lot of sense. The Gemara, in its conclusion, doesn't even mention tiltul min hatzad. The Gemara, in its conclusion, is only talking about tiltul gamor. Now, the truth is, well, you know, being a little intellectually honest here, that it's a tough read in the Gemara. It's a tough read in the Gemara because specifically, the Gemara says everyone agrees tiltul min hatzad shmei tiltul, and the reason of Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish is something else. So the fact that you're sort of parsing the two phrases, right? You're taking the second half of the sentence and saying, oh, well, what the reason of Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish is that it's tiltul gamor is okay for the dead body. But the first part, we're just going to ignore that part. Now, we're not necessarily ignoring it, but that when it comes to psak, again, the Rush is coming to give us a psak, right? That's the Rush's purpose, is giving us conclusions of how do we paskin. So he says, we do palginon dibura, which is a concept by witness testimony, which I'm not going to get into, but we will split the psak. We'll take the second half, halach lamaisa, we will say that we paskin Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish when it comes to a dead body, you can move it tiltul gamor in a fire. But we're not going to take the first part. In the first part, we're not going to paskin like that. We're not going to paskin that tiltul min hatzad shmei tiltul. We're going to paskin instead tiltul min hatzad lav shmei tiltul, like the later Gemaras. So that's how the Rush explains it. Okay, so he disagrees with the Riff, and he disagrees with Rabbeinu Yonah's interpretation because they're explaining it within tiltul min hatzad. Is this whole thing crooked? Yeah, it is. Sorry, I'm writing at an angle. But okay. Lastly, let's look at the Ritva. Ad Kan, we haven't really seen a later generation Sephardi. We've seen Tosfos, early Ashkenazi. We've seen the Rif, early Sephardi. We've seen the Rush, which is a combo Ashkenazi-Sephardi. And then he disagrees with the Sephardim, and disagrees with both Tosfos and the Sephardim. And now we have the Ritva. The Ritva is a later Rishon from the Sephardim. I believe he's late 14th century. Let me see. Ritva curtains. Did you know that there were curtains sold at IKEA called Ritva? I do not know what they look like. Don't ask me. But the Ritva is revealed to Benashvili, medieval rabbi, 1260 to 1320. Okay, so not so different than the Rush, actually. Okay, says the Ritva, last source on the page. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish b'meis. Perish, I'm just going to run through this because this is going to be just summarizing for a second. Degabe meis hitiu tiltul min hatzad. Avaba ama tiltul min hatzad shmei tiltul va'aser. V'chein perish Rabbeinu Chanana. That's like the Rif and the Rabbeinu Yonah and Tosfos. That the psak of the Gemara is tiltul min hatzad is real tiltul and it's aser. That's the conclusion of the Gemara. The only time that we're lenient is for the dead body in the fire. V'rav, nami dehilchasa kvasei, b'isurei. When it comes to Rav, who we typically paskin like when it comes to prohibitions, heichin svirole, I think it's supposed to say heichan, how does he believe to tiltul min hatzad shmei tiltul? V'kashale, dehala kamanu perikol akelim, gabe charara shetmanu begachalim, if sika halacha krebi Elazar ben Tadai, Rav says that we pass on Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai later on in the Gemara. Right? This is just summaries. I'm going to run through it. I'm sorry. Detalu la bekush o bekar kar v'hein ninros me'alehen. Right. Ve'utna nami gabe tomin begize tzemer v'hein metaltelim osan. This is a different case. Case that is also notalas akiso v'hein noflo is another case where you're moving. You're picking something up, a cover, and then the wool falls off. Just memela passively. V'arminu nami l'kaman. Demol shal akar. Money on the pillow. Minaris akar v'hein noflo. So l'kaman perik tolin. Kuf mem aleph. Amri beirav. Tanina hakasha gabe hamita. The straw on the bed. Lo yinanam biyado elamananam begufo. Mikol hani. From all of these cases, mashmalan dekaimalan de tiltul min hatzad lo shmei tiltul. Right? That's the end of the summary of the whole question we've been asking the whole time. How could it be that by the dead body we're saying tiltul min hatzad is aser, and all the other cases we just brought up, tiltul min hatzad is mutter? V'yesh letaretz, and you can explain, you can answer. Delo damu, they're not the same. Good, they can't be the same, otherwise we'd have problems. Delo damu, dehachal etzorech davar ha'aser kegon meis tiltul min hatzad shmei tiltul va'aser. Right, that sounds like Tosfos. He's doing for the sake of the dead body. He's already using more general language than Tosfos. It's for the sake of the Davar Mutar Ulitzorech Shabbos. Ulitzorech Shabbos. Right? He's combining Tosfos' language and the Rif's language. Ulufika Chitiribo Tiltum Anatzad. Umihu. That's what for the permissible items, we allow indirect movement. Umihu. What's Umihu? Mihu Zavyezehu. No, not the same word. Mihu means however. However, Umihu. Meha Da'amrinan. Dekule alma tiltum in atzad shmei tiltul leka raya dehachen hilchasa debaha lo matzina li dechuye dekule alma tiltum in atzad lo shmei tiltul. Because in those cases, I'm working this out on my own, I don't remember what he says. Debaha lo matzina li dechuye dekule alma tiltum in atzad lo shmei tiltul deim kein mai tanakama de asar. When the Gemara, even the Gemara's even later on claim that tiltul min hatzad is not tiltul, we can't say that that's everyone's opinion, because otherwise it wouldn't be a machlokas over there. In the cases of the bread in the coals and the fig in the straw, there were two opinions, right? There's the Tanakam, there's the Rebbe Elazar ben Tadai. V'chi tema. And if you're going to tell me mishum de isharis le asu le chabuye ha prishna de gabe meis le klamim rachin vechitema, I don't know what this is saying. I'm just going to read through it for a second to get my bearings. Vechitema de nema de pligi betiltul kedarko, like the rush. That's like the rush. If you're going to say that they're arguing about literal direct movement kedarko ha le klamimar de imkein hechi shari Reb Yehuda. Kaven to Esher betiltul min atzad. Why would Reb Yehuda allow that if you wouldn't be able to do it indirectly? Hilchach al karchenu hutzrachnu litchos to lekuli amashmei tiltul v'achen hilchos amitami dekhsiv nalael v'sulo midi. I do not recall if he's undoing what he said before. I think he's just saying in the end of the day he disagrees with the Rush. And he agrees with Tosfos. Try to remember. Like Umiyu mehad damrina de lekuli alma tiltul min hatzad shmei tiltul. From the fact that it says in the Gemara that tiltul min hatzad is real tiltul, that's not a proof that that's the halacha. Tivahal lomantzina de lekuli alma tiltul min hatzad lo shmei tiltul. Tim kein my time is not a kind of dasar. Hilkach al karchenu hutzrachnu litchos to lekulei alma shmei tiltul. That in general it is real tiltul. Yeah, I think he's just explaining it in a roundabout way. He's explaining why it must be that we understand like Tosfos. I think that's what it is. I'll have to check into that for next week. But I'm pretty sure he's just sort of going through why the Rush is wrong methodologically. But that in essence, he's saying the same thing as Tosfos. I have to look into that. I also think that there's a fifth opinion that I can't remember off the top of my head, but that I want to get on the source sheet that I didn't do last week. So, Mirat Hashem, we will maybe next week get to a fifth option, which is really a fourth now. The Ritva seems to agree with Tosfos. But we'll also get into some of the underpinnings about why these distinctions are legitimate distinctions. Why does this justify it being okay? The fact that it's for Shabbos, or the fact that it's for something mutter. And then Mirat Hashem, after that, we can get into what the halacha is. The time of class is going to change the next time we have class. I think next week we might have a board meeting.
Yeah.
In which case we won't be able to have class. But the week after that, it'll be 8 o'clock. I think so. That's the week before Pesach. And then Chol HaMoed, we're probably not going to have class. Oh, it might not be Chol HaMoed. No, next week we're not going to have class if there's a board meeting. But if there's no board meeting, so then we'll probably have class at 8 o'clock.
Oh, because Shul isn't finished.
Sure, Shul is at 6:30 or something next week. Okay.
No.